Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. And what a special time of year it is. The Jumps is back and Cheltenham is back as well. We'll be previewing all six races on Saturday from Cheltenham. Everything you need to know for the return for the showcase meeting. We'll also be heading to Doncaster for a fabulous card up there. The final domestic Group 1 of the season is the Futurity Trophy. We'll be previewing three races from Doncaster. And we've got our Lambourne man, Liam Head, on the show because there's racing from Newbury, including two quality Group 3 contests. Loads of good action to get stuck into. As ever, if you're a fan of our shows, make sure to rate, review and subscribe. But where else to start than Cheltenham, of course, where we are going to start straight off in the 220 at Cheltenham. There's 100 grand on offer for the William Hill Best Odds Guaranteed Handicap Chase, where Henry de Bromhead, the Irish, are back at Cheltenham, and Henry de Bromhead is bidding for a hat-trick with the short go. But he's not your favourite. Currently at the head of affairs is Rock My Way at 5-1 for Joe Tizard, second, of course, at the festival last season. Highland for Nicky Henson. We'll have to see what Liam thinks of Highland's chance at 13-2. King's Threshold at 8-1, along with the short go. Holy Joe Smoke at 17-2. Transmission at 9-1. Free Card Brag at 10s, along with Backers Sack Me. Right, let's introduce panel before we get stuck in. In the top right, we've got Lambourne correspondent Liam Head, who I've alluded to. Robbie Wilders?
Yeah, don't call me Wilders, mate.
Who knows who he is, but hopefully he won't get as many winners as our anti-postman in the bottom left, and Ed Nicholson. You don't even need any pronunciation guide with him because we know him so well. Let's get stuck into the 220 at Cheltenham then. Robbie, Wilders, take it away.
Thank you, Jimmy. This is a very interesting race, actually, for the time of year. Big pot on offer, 100 grand pot. I was thinking with the showcase meeting, a lot of these horses are declared in the prediction that the ground is going to be on the quick side. I'm seeing a lot of rain around at Cheltenham. I know you're quite near Cheltenham, James. Are you seeing that as well?
Not as much rain as I was expecting last night. Okay. But I didn't have the gauge out, if that's what you mean, Robbie.
No, I wanted to get a bit of an insight because I was kind of looking for horses that do handle a bit of testing conditions. And the one I was drawn to is a big price, Nassalam. He's the class horse in the race. Very interesting profile. I mean, he only ran in the Gold Cup, four starts ago after he absolutely bolted up in the Welsh National in the mud. His two runs since running in the Grand National in the 2024 season were both on quick ground, pulled up in both. But his mark has come down quite a bit now. He's back down to 150. He's gone well fresh in the past. And crucially, he's also run well at Cheltenham in the past. So I could just see him going well at a massive price. We're guessing whether he's fit at this time of year, but I'm happy to take the chance when the odds are that big.
Yeah, dropping down a mark since that absolute rout in the 2023 Welsh Grand National. Robbie alludes to the ground. We're recording here on Thursday afternoon. It's currently good to soft at Cheltenham, but we've got a bit of an unsettled forecast, which makes things interesting. Let's introduce you, Liam. Liam, we've got a Lambourne runner in the race. Is Highland your selection? Are you looking elsewhere?
No, he is my selection, James. I think it's only right I stick with Henderson on this one. I just think that, all right, Robbie alluded to Nassalam being the class horse in the race, but we've seen last season many times how classy Highland is. Obviously, it didn't work out in the Grand National, but I think that was just a bit of a roll of the dice from the Seven Barrows team to throw him in there, because obviously it's a race he's yet to win as a trainer. But Highland, he really loves this track. He was an impressive winner at this meeting 12 months ago, winning by 15 lengths, and by cancer, and he followed that up winning a listed race a month later. So he's obviously a fan favourite when it comes to Prestbury Park. He's now won three of his four starts at the track, and I just think he's on the up. He's got plenty of experience. I think the year that he had last year will only bring him forward. He also finished second to the Jukebox Man in the Corto Star at Kempton over Christmas. So he is a class act. I just think that the Kempton run out of February, he did well to finish second there, albeit he was a good 15 lengths behind the winner that day. But I think the ground there was probably a lot softer than he actually wants. But he has won on sort of good to soft before. So I think if conditions sort of stay the same as they are, I think he can have a really good chance, and this can be a start of another good season for him.
Yeah, as it was last year, Liam. He was so impressive at this meeting last year, beating Transmission in that novice chase, which we're going to discuss later in the card. Ed, midway through that, so you're actually down a bit of coffee there. I hope we're keeping you up. We've touched on Nicky Henderson there. He's got more than Highland to look forward to this season, and you, more than most, can tell us about it.
Yeah, we've just done a 43-minute stable tour, which is available at Unibet blog. It's quite interesting. He talks about a lot of his old favourites, but he's got quite a lot of youngsters in as well. So that made interesting viewing. We talked about Highland. We've also got a column from Nico. Great to have Nico back on these big Saturdays. And he's back for the first time on an ITV fixture for a long time. And Nico, without going into too much detail of the blog, he does say, look, he's a good ground horse. He can get away with good to soft. He is a good ground horse. I'm told that they're aiming at the Coral Gold Trophy with this horse. And the I think the handicap comes out on the 28th, on the Tuesday. So it'll be interesting because he's running here. That certainly is his early season target. And as was already been said, Liam mentioned it. He won this card 12 months ago. He's a good ground horse. A lot of these probably won't be as forward as him because apparently he's quite clean-winded and he'll be ready to go. So, yeah, Highland wouldn't put anyone off him. But there's 18 runners in the race and, you know, there are plenty of others here that have got a chance. We're going extra place for a start. And I must admit, I really like the look of Rock My Way. 6-1, 5-1, that's that region. Ran fifth in the Scottish National. And as been mentioned already, came second at the festival. He's only had three runs for Joe's Tizards. And his handicap mark is the thing that's interesting me. He's only on 1-3-3. Highland's up to 1-4-7. And I just think there's a couple of handicaps Rock My Way to win. And I think this might be the start of it all. The owner loves to have a winner at Cheltenham. You can be rest assured he's been telling Joe to get this horse ready for this meeting. And I just thought Rock My Way was the most obvious winner on the day. I think there are other horses that will be better throughout the rest of the season. But on the day, I think Rock My Way will be ready to go. Incidentally, James, it's kind of interesting. We've got Flat and National Hunt this weekend, and April and October are the worst margin months for punters, because that's when the ground's turning. For the Flat, it goes softer, having been fast. And, you know, at the beginning of the jump season, plenty of good horses have got long-term targets. So be wary this weekend. I think we might get a few upsets. Might not get as many upsets as we got last Saturday at Ascot, but there might be a few.
Yeah, well, anyone who's a bit unsure about those margins, they've come to the right place listening to the podcast, rest assured. And Ed touches on the stable tours there. Should also mention there's a Racing Post Nick Hendon stable tour as well. Good to compare the two notes, compare the notes, see what we can read between the lines. But those stable tours, well worth a watch, as is, with a view to the Cheltenham Festival, the 2.55 at Cheltenham, the Temps Network Handicap Hurdle. The road to the festival starts here because we've got Willie Mullins and Gordon Elliott runners going head-to-head in this one. But it's Long Draw, who is your joint 6-1 favourite, with the Elliott train winning Marchand 2 at 8-1 for Emma Lavelle. Prince Zoltar at 9's chart topper for the Grand National winning duo, Patrick and Willie Mullins at 10-1. Not often we get to see Willie Mullins at this meeting, so that could be potentially noteworthy. Chance another one at 10, Suprini West, and so Sir Manzak at 11's. Gal Road had such a good season last year, he's 12, along with Quantum Quest. Tiny Tetley, Watch Protector at 14's. Liam, let's go straight back to you. What do we like in the Potemps?
I like Quantum Quest for Henry de Pomhead. I think he's still fairly lightly raised for the yard, but he's had the benefit of having, you know, two recent runs under his belt. One of them came over 3 miles, and the other came over just over that 3 mile one. So he's clearly got the stamina to sort of hold up, his energy for these races. Let's also allude to the fact that he won both of those races impressively as well. So he's got form on his side, and he's got the experience under his belt. So I think coming to this meeting and, you know, a track like Cheltenham, having having sort of course form and, you know, run under your belt is quite a significant advantage. He's also featured quite, you know, on soft and heavy ground. He ran in a point-to-point in Ireland in March last year. And both those two wins that I mentioned came with Good in the description. So I think he's pretty versatile when it comes to ground. And I think it's also important to note that as we look at the showcase meeting and Cheltenham at this stage of the year, you know, Henry Bonhead, as we know, he doesn't send runners just to make up the numbers at this track. I was looking at some of the stats before. In the past five seasons, he sent 132 runners to this track in the past five seasons, and 70 have finished inside the top four with 17 winning. So he's definitely one to know when he's racing at Cheltenham.
Certainly is, and he's had a great record at these early meetings as well. Robbie, bring you in here. We've got a qualifier. It adds a little bit of interest to the race. Do we look for one who's definitely going to want get their place in nice and early, or potentially one down the weights trying to progress? How do you assess a race like this?
Yeah, that's the way I look at it as well, James. I'm looking for kind of low weighted improvers who really need to show their hand a little bit more to climb up in the weights. So I'll be kind of against those at the top. There's a few interesting Irish ones, but I was most drawn to Prince Zoltar of Dan Skelton's. He's in off 10 stone 2. That makes him £3 wrong. But he was rated higher a couple of years ago for Philip Rothwell. 41 with an awful lot in hand on his stable debut for Skelton at Newton Abbot last month, over 2.5 miles. It's a different kind of test here, but he did win a chase over 3 miles at Punchtown in June one of his last runs for former connections. And he's just run well at this track in the past, sixth in a 3 mile event in November meeting 2 years ago. And he also handles a bit of softer ground as well. He was 8 lengths clear of the third behind Sonagino in a heavy ground Aintree Saturday handicap December 2023. He's just the sort of horse that Skelton does well with. I'm not really concerned that Harry's not riding because he's off 10 stone 2. Harry Atkins can get down to 9 stone 9. He's claiming 7. I think there's a lot to like there. And he should give punters a good run for their money.
Yeah, these good horses with absolutely no weight at all, they can appeal at Cheltenham, as we may find out on Saturday. Ed, let's just bring you in. What's your verdict on this pretense?
Well, first of all, it's another competitive race. 18 runners declared. So we are going extra place in the qualifier. Interesting to hear what Robbie said, because I've gone completely the opposite. I've gone for a horse at the top end of the market, but I understand what he's saying. It makes perfect sense. So I was thinking maybe I've done the wrong thing, but I've gone for Long Draw, who has already been touted as a Potemps Network horse for 2026 by trainer Ollie Murphy. And he's quoted as saying that in the Racing Post section on the excellent website you have. And he was due to run in it last year, I think, but he didn't get there. He looks like a good ground horse to me, so I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of qualifies here. It's quite a good pot as well, 19 grand. His handicap might not go up too much, probably needs to go up a little bit, and it'll be perfect. They'll put him away for the winter and maybe bring him back next year. They obviously might give him another run, but the ground's probably going to go against him in the next kind of month or so. Long Draw got a fantastic record as well. Loves Cheltenham. Two wins from three runs at the course. And the stable and jockey are in absolutely flying form. I mean, they're the stable to follow, and Sean Bowen's a jockey to follow. Last 14 days, Sean's had 17 winners from 47 rides. Ollie's had 11 from 21. But when they combine, they've combined 17 times in the last 2 weeks. They've had 10 winners. It is absolutely phenomenal, these two. And I just got the feeling that this horse, having run in May, might just win this on the way to even bigger and better things next spring. And great colours as well. You'll remember the colours. Alan Peterson, Fair Along, who second in the Triumph, second in the Arkle, and third in the Queen Mother. So Cheltenham form through and through, not just with the horse, but with the owner as well. So Long Draw for me.
Claxon rings, Ed. Claxon rings for a bit of nostalgia. Yeah, just on Ed touches there on Potemps last year. Missed the cut by one last year. Ollie Murphy, this horse won at April, said he was absolutely gutted the horse didn't get in, because he sort of just showed exactly why they thought he could be a Potemps horse. Maybe he'll get a bit of justification in 2026. Let's look at the rest of Cheltenham. We have got four races also live on ITV. The 110 William Hill each way, extra novices limited handicap chase. A really interesting race for the new Jack Richards novice handicap chase. And 145 play William Hill, final one standing novice hurdle. Could be an interesting one for those good novice hurdles. 330 is the Maston Holdings hurdle. This is a four-year-old race, often a bit of a launch pad for good hurdlers for the season. And the 405, the William Hill extra places with BOGs, chasing excellence novices chase, which was a springboard for Highland last season. Robbie, those four races, what do you like?
Yeah, James, I'm most interested in the novice handicap chase, the opener 110. Pretty much all the horses at the top of the market are making their chasing debuts. You don't know how they're going to take to a test like Cheltenham. I mean, Liam touched upon Henry de Bromhead's good record at this meeting. And I'm quite interested in his horse, Zurich. He's quite lightly raced. He won a bumper in France on very soft ground. He won't mind a bit of cut if there is a bit more rain. And I just thought he was quite impressive on his return, winning at Killarney last time over 2 mile 1. That looked on the sharp side for him. He's definitely going to improve stepping up in trip. He's race fit. He did throw in a suspect jump at the last, but apart from that, he was polished enough, Killarney last time. I think there's more to come from him. And I thought double figures was very fair for Zurich.
Zurich. Ed, you're also on Team Zurich, I believe. Talk us through these fancies for the rest of Cheltenham.
Yeah, I mean, Zurich looks like he's got a good profile going up to 2.5. His only bad run has been over 3, I think, over fences. And that run at Killarney, he got it in the stewards' room, quite rightly as well, because the horse in front drifted to his right. And he would have won. But this extra, I mean, 2.5 seems to be, I think, at this stage of his career, probably perfect for him. And I'm a big fan of Henry de Bromhead when he brings horses over, especially for the smaller, bigger meetings, if you know what I mean. So I think Zurich's around about 11-1. I thought that's a good price. We're going extra place on this. And also, this is our money back second or third race. So the first race at Cheltenham, our flagship offer, the money back if your horse comes second or third. Do you want me to go through the others, James, at Cheltenham? Just got a few.
Yeah, what else do you like, Ed?
Okay, at 3:30, Give It To Me, OJ. Quite interesting, this horse. He's won two derbies, James. He's won two derbies, but they were the Jumps Jockey Derby and the Apprentice Derby, both at Epsom. He was taken out of Chester when I was up there because of the ground being too far. So the softer ground will be okay. He ran fourth in a juvenile hurdle, the big grade one at Aintree last season. We're not fancy, 28-1 behind Machia. So I think he's got a big season ahead of him, myself. And I think, he's odds on, so he should win. But he's a horse maybe for the future as well in the 3:30. That's Give It To Me, OJ. Pied Piper in the chase at 4:05, novice chase. Excellent Cheltenham record. Was third in the Triumph hurdle, wasn't he? And he's had 5 runs at Cheltenham, never been out of the first 3. I think he's got a lot of experience, so I think he'll come into the race, Pied Piper, in the 4:05. So those are the kind of selections outside the big races at Cheltenham from myself.
Okay, let's come on to you, Liam. Same questions, 4 races. What have you got for us?
Yeah, in going back to the 110, I like Newton Tornado for Rec Curtis. He was very progressive last season. He only won the once at Foss Lassett in April, but I mean, he finished second 4 times and third on the other start. That was on the back of winning a point to point in some sale in Ireland. So he's definitely climbing up the ladder for a trainer who, you know, had a brilliant campaign last year. You know, he raced at Cheltenham on New Year's Day, albeit on the new course, but you know, he's in those races where he did finish second, he was beaten half a length in one of the races, a length and 3/4 in another. So he's been sort of creeping up the ladder and sort of hitting the crossbar a number of times. The one time he did win was over this 2.5 trip. So I think conditions are going to be in his favour. He's, you know, all but 5 of his, all but 1 of his 6 runs, should I say, have come with good or good to soft in the description. So I think everything's in his favour to run another big race.
Yep. Any others, Liam?
Yeah, in the 4:05, I like Leave of Absence for Anthony Honeyball. I've seen him run twice now, one at Kempton, one at Newbury. He He won at Newbury, quite well. He's still, I think he's eight years old, but he's very lightly raced. He had a bit of time off the track for about 2 years when he came to Anthony Honeyball, but he was a close second on his chase debut behind Iberico Lord at Kempton in November. But he did really well in the Reynolds Town, stepping up to grade two quickly behind a changing man. And like I said, he backed that up in impressive style at Newbury. And I think, again, he's one who should relish the track and the trip. And I think he could be one to follow this term.
Certainly could, Liam. And nice to see you tipping into West Country horses as our Lambourne man. And Liam touches on Newton Tornado as one race we've not discussed. This is the 145. Where a little bit of expert insight, the novice hurdle, because we know Rebecca Curtis, who obviously trains Newton Tornado, who runs in the first Liam selection. She's had some very good staying hurdlers in the past. At Fisher's Cross being one, Liz Nagaroska, the shock winner of the Stairs Hurdle a few years ago. She's very, very keen on Inish Corker. Really likes this horse, thinks he's a proper Albert Bartlett horse. He's 20-1 for his stable debut, having gone from a point to point in Ireland. Perhaps he could be a bit of each way of value. Inish Corker, if he doesn't particularly run well on Saturday, he's definitely a horse to watch. So that's all of Cheltenham. We're raring to go for Cheltenham. We'll be back to the flat after this short break. Okay, the fun does not stop there. We're on the 2:05 at Doncaster now, the final Group 1 of the flat season in Britain. It's the William Hill Futurities Trophy Stakes, where Aidan O'Brien is bidding for a record-extending 12th win in the race with Benvuto Cellini. He is your 6-2-5 favourite, followed by Hawk Mountain at 7-4, Item at 7s for Andrew Balding, Oxagon for the Gosdens at 15-2. Action, the third O'Brien runner in the race, is at 12-1. And Roach, fourth Bridge, 66-1 outsider. Ed, let's come to you. We talked about expert insight. You've got a bit of know-how about one fancy in this race.
Yeah, it's the Andrew Balding horse, Item. He ran in his maiden at Kempton in a race we sponsored, got a nice letter. It's great. Judmont, whenever they win a race, they always send a nice letter to the sponsors thanking them for their sponsorship. So I got a nice letter from the team about Item. So obviously it was following the horse, waiting for it to run again. It ran at Bath. I was there that day. And it was quite a good event. There were a couple of horses that in the parade ring, they looked well above the other two. And in the race itself, they proved that. They're both nice horses. But Item looked like a real machine. I mean, looks wonderful, and was still very, very inexperienced, and won by 3.5 lengths, I think, beating a very good horse in second, or potentially good horse in second. And I just got the feeling that Rob Hornby quite liked the look of this horse. I actually went up to him and asked him about it, and he said, proper horse, needs to get experienced, will make a great 3-year-old, but they even then they were talking about the futurity because they wanted to get some turf experience into him. And he said that it wasn't about the race because he's got an engine. It was about everything before and after the race, just making him mature a bit more. And he said he would have come on a bundle for that run. It was a good run and it was a good performance anyway. But I think the horse, as he gets more experience, will be a serious horse. And this was always the plan, which I like that. When a horse, it's a plan of action that they've had for a long time, not a surprise or thinking, oh, we might as well run him in a Group 1. They had this, I think, down for a long time. So, yeah, Item for me, Colin Keane rode him that day at Kempton, so he knows the horse already. And Rob Hornby, was eulogising about him, saying he's a proper horse. So about 8-1. I mean, the only worry I'd have is the ground. I mentioned it earlier on. The ground's heavy at the moment at Doncaster. And you just never know, do you? Some of these horses, inexperienced, they just don't really want to go on heavy and early in their career. But yeah, I'm going to be back in Item at around about 8-1.
Okay, Robbie, Futurity Trophy. We've got a bit of a hot O'Brien favourite in Benvuto Cellini. How much, firstly, are we expecting this race to have an impact on the classics? And as well, what do you fancy in the race? Talk us through your selection.
Yeah, it could do. I mean, the three and O'Brien colts are very interesting, obviously, and indeed the horse Ed talks about, Item. I did think, though, that they were quite closely matched on form, all of Benvenuto, Cellini, Hawk Mountain and Action. And I can't really understand exactly why Action is such a big price compared to the first two. I thought his run in the Royal Lodge behind Bo Echo was a pretty good effort because that was more a test of speed on Newmarket and fast ground. Bo Echo, they're talking about as being end of the guineas. Humidity was second. Chesham Stakes winner as a good yardstick as well in that division. And Action, I thought he hit the line quite hard there. He's going to prefer more of a test, which he'll get at Doncaster. He's obviously a half-brother to Lamborn, the Derby winner, who's a real grinder. I could just see him going well, and I don't think the prices really reflect how litters between these colts. One thing I will also add as well, Aidan O'Brien often only runs one in this. The fact he might, he's got three, suggests to me that he might not know which is the best one at this stage. We'll soon find out, but at the prices, Action looks a bet.
Very good point, actually. Are you going to take on the favourite as well, Liam?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm going to still start with Aidan O'Brien. I think Hawk Mountain is probably the one I'm going to take out of the race. He's had three good runs under his belt. Obviously won the Beresford at the Curragh the last day, and that came with a bit of juice in the ground. So I think, you know, his conditions, as Ed said, that, you know, they're heavy at the minute. I'm not exactly sure how much rain we'll get between now and then, but I just think he'll be sort of the one out of the O'Brien trio to handle the ground most. And I think as well, you look at Item and Oxygen for the Gosdens as well, they've not ran on quicker than good. So I think the ground is going to be key in this race. And I think just on Robbie's point, I think obviously, yeah, there is a lot to separate. There isn't a lot to separate the three O'Briens, but in the back of my mind, I think he might just be thinking about this record that he's chasing as well. O'Brien, obviously, he's trying to get to that, you know, that record number of Group 1 top level races in a year. So that could be possibly why he's kind of trying to throw a few into the hat as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. Of course, to have the best ever season for Aidan O'Brien in terms of Group 1s. Well, maybe it will extend on Saturday. Still plenty to come. Loads of good flat races, Breeders' Cup, Melbourne Cups, all to look forward to. And we'll still have selections on all the big races, of course, on the postcast to make sure to join us for the rest of the flat season. Let's move on to the 130 at Doncaster and the 240 at Doncaster. Our two other televised races there. That's the Skill Set Group Handicap, a sprint, and the listed William Hill Prospect Stakes. Now, no selections from Robbie in either of these two races, but Liam, we've got a hot Lamborn fancy. Tell us more.
We do. Rosario for Roger Teal. I really, really like this horse. I've seen him work a number of times on the gallops in Lamborn, and you know, I've had conversations with Roger Teal as well. And I think the general consensus is that this horse really should have a few more ones to his name this year. He's been running in some huge races. Yes, he's had just a one win. It was a Class 2 handicap at Goodwood in May, but he's finished third twice and second in three recent outings as well. And I think he's certainly in the last five times he's started, he's been pretty consistent. I think he finished fifth in the Shergar Cup in Ascot, but he was very slow out of the stalls that day. And I think that was partly down to the jockey removing the headgear very late on, and it sort of took Rosario quite a bit to get going. And unfortunately, you know, over these races, the race can be lost in the very first few strides. So I think if he starts well, he can be a really big player. And I think he'll be fine with the rain. And it's also important to express that he's running off a mark of 94, and that was the same as he won off at Goodwood in May. So I think this could be a good opportunity for Roger to end the season on a high.
Yeah, that's in the 130 at Doncaster. Rosario and Liam, they're echoing his inner Maureen Haggis talking about the Shergar Cup for a second, I thought there. The 240, Ed, you've got one for us here, and you've got even more sort of intel from the stable, so to speak.
Yeah, we're offering Super Boost here, and it's a tricky race. The horse right at the bottom, 33-1, is the one I'm going to go for. But I must say, it's more heart than head, and I'll tell you why. Because I was at the stables of Gary Hanmer on Tuesday. More about that in a moment. And Trust Amy was looking really well. He ran at Trust Amy ran at Chester last time when I was there, when winning at Fair Odds, ran about 12-1. She did. But Gary's going to have more flat horses in the coming years. He's a point-to-point jockey of old, and a point-to-point trainer. And he's now going to do more and more on the flat. I saw some starting stalls, and I was a bit surprised. I said, how many horses you train now on the flat? He said, well, we're going to get more. So he's going to do dual purpose. And the reason we were there, James, is that Gary Hanmer trains the Flyer Begley, who won the £100,000 final of the Unibet Middle Distance Veteran Series last year. And that series starts its third season next week. It was due to be this weekend at Wincanton, but that meeting has now been abandoned due to the fast ground. So we went up there and had a look at his stables, which was in the deepest of Cheshire. Fantastic to be up there. And we've got a nice little video showing the Flyer Begley in his work.
Been cantering now for 2-3 weeks. His last run was at Raisin, Market Raisin in the Plate, which is arguably one race too many. So he was overdue a holiday. So he went out soon after. And he's had his break and now he's back in. So yeah, all good.
And the great thing about him, although it's a veteran series, he's a relatively youngster for that series. So I imagine you are working backwards from Haydock in April?
Most definitely. Yeah, Haydock is Flyer's Gold Cup. His season will revolve solely around Haydock. Things will be a little bit more difficult for him this year than it was last. I think he started off 118 last year. So 135, it's considerably higher. But he's well capable, I think, hopefully. When you're taking on seasoned handicappers, and the Unibet series is a great series, although it starts relatively high handicap horses, it gives older horses a chance to be competitive. There is a window of opportunity there for a younger veteran to make hay, and thankfully for us, it's worked a treat, yeah.
Lovely. Thank you very much for that. And of course, that series starts next week and we'll look forward to it throughout the rest of the season. Love seeing the old veterans continue to shine. And of course, they've got that big day at Cheltenham as well, Ed, which is fantastic. Yep. But more on that, because we've still got some good flat racing to get through. And that is at Newbury as well, where it's the 3:45. Some famous old faces here as well in the Betfix St Simon Stakes, with Hamish bidding for win number 15. But your favourite here is a Godolphin horse. It's Ancient Wisdom at 2-1. Hamish at 3-1. Stars in Their Eyes at 7s. Alazi, well, he's a familiar face, isn't he, at 8-1. Sea Scout at 9s. Mount Atlas at 10-1. Robbie, some old favourites here in the St Simon. Which one's going to come out on top?
Yeah, interesting race. I want to take on the older horses. I'm looking for something less exposed. I mean, I don't think Ancient Wisdom has really been the horse that he promised to be. We were talking about him as a Derby horse when he won the Futurity a couple of years ago. I mean, his recent form at Goodwood, he's got a big chance on that run, but I don't know about Hamish either. He ran his worst race in a long time at Ascot last time. Maybe Tom might be catching up with him. He's 9 years old now. I was just very attracted by Stars in Their Eyes, to be honest, for Rafe Beckett, who's won the last two runs in this race with Max Vega. This is Beckett's time of year. Stars in Their Eyes is a horse who likes soft ground. He was 3 lengths behind Ancient Wisdom when they met at Goodwood last time in the listed foundation stakes, but that's a mile two race. It turned into a bit of a dash. Stars in Their Eyes was quite poorly positioned because now that race unfolded, whereas Ancient Wisdom raced much more prominently. I think he's going to come forward a lot for that run. You know, we're talking about a horse who won the Zetland Stakes on his final start as a two-year-old. He's all stamina, really, that we proved that day. He's stepping up to a mile four for the first time. He's beat Archivist, the smart Archivist on soft ground, very unexposed. I think there's quite a lot in his favour, to be honest.
Yeah, Stars in Their Eyes. Robbie, how I'd love to see you on Stars in Their Eyes from years gone by.
Oh, yeah, what a show that was.
Was indeed. Well, hopefully you'll be reenacting someone when you celebrate after the 3:45 at Newbury, Robbie. Liam, are you taking on Stars in Their Eyes? You're looking elsewhere, one of the old favourites, maybe?
Hey, I'm going to side with Hamish on this one, James. I just think what a superstar he's been. And yes, Robbie mentioned obviously that run at Ascot. It wasn't his finest run, but every time you sort of try and overlook him, he just delivers and delivers again. I mean, at 9 years old, he's won 14 of his 27 starts. And I just think he's got one more big day in him. And I think that could be it on ground that, again, he should really, really take to if it gets really testing and even heavy. He's obviously won on heavy before. And, you know, he's course and distance winner. He won at Newbury in April of 2024. So I just think he's got one more big run in him. I think this could be it.
Okay, yeah, bit of technical difficulties got there in the end. I've changed my position. Hamish for Liam at 3-1. Let's bring you in, Ed. Would you want to be or against the Godolphin horse? We've touched him. He's obviously got a bit of class, but just hasn't quite happened for him, has it?
Yes, it's an interesting makeup, isn't it? Robbie makes a very good point. You kind of want to be against the older horses, really, don't you? Given what they've been doing recently. And Ancient Wisdom's the kind of the younger horse, really, that showed the best form last time out. They say the best piece of form to take when you're thinking about having a bet is the last race that a horse runs, and he's got that form in the book. It's pretty short, though. He's ran about 2-1. He was 4-1 earlier on when the betting came out. So there's been quite a lot of money for him. Big fan of Hamish. I think everyone is that loves racing. But I'm also a big fan of Al Arzi. He's got a tremendous record at Newbury. 4 wins from 8 runs. He can throw in the old wobbler. He was beaten in this race 12 months ago when 5-6 favourite. I remember it because I tipped him up in this programme and he ran appallingly, relatively speaking. I'm going to side with Al Arzi. I'm going to go for an old-timer, but you're probably saying that's because I am an old-timer. But I just think Al Arzi might win this and just show the whippersnappers Ancient Wisdom and Stars in Their Eyes their place. It's interesting that Robbie remembers Stars in Their Eyes. I didn't realise you were that old, Robbie. The last Stars in Their Eyes was 2015. That's a good 10 years ago.
2015? I'm surprised it lasted that long, to be fair, Ed. Yeah, to be fair, I was still 22 then, man.
Oh, yeah. You look very young.
Oh, you're very kind. I'm 27.
I'm sorry, guys. I have to break this up here. I'm not sure what sort of reality show the postcast is turning into, but I'm not having a bit of flirting on the show, Ed. You've already called him a whippersnapper. That's about as old school a reference as it goes. You definitely have shown your age there. But hopefully Al Arzi doesn't show his age on Saturday. He's 8-1. Right, we're moving on to the 3-10 before we get any more off topic. The Horace Hill, just have a quick word. Robbie, you've got a strong fancy here.
Yeah, I do, James. It's a weird race. It's quite hard to assess. And I just thought it might be, with all the funny results we've been getting lately, we often get this time of year. I just thought the rank outside the Arabian Desert was quite interesting for Richard Fahey, same owner as well, as obviously the perfect powerful glory, who obviously won the champion sprint last week. He has the best pedigree in this race, for sure. He's by Frankel out of Rosina, really top class mare a few years ago, dual Group 1 winner. He was clueless on his debut at Ayr over 7 furlongs, but he took a massive leap forward, I thought, at York last time in what is usually a pretty good maiden. Almeric won it last season. He's dropping back in trips 7 furlongs. I think he's the type to step forward again off with that in front. I just don't massively rate the horses at the top of the market in this. I'm looking for something, a kind of different form line. I quite like the angle of a horse dropping down in trip, but we know stays a mile when the ground is going to be as bad as it is at Newbury. And he's one I just wouldn't write off at all.
Okay, Arabian Desert, 20-1 for the Horace. So we've got no selection from Liam, but Ed, just before we move on to our best bets, run us through what offers we've got to look forward to on the weekend.
Yeah, this particular race, we've got industry best price. So that's where 12 o'clock on the day. If you have a bet in this particular contest, the Horace Hill, you won't get a better price anywhere else in the industry. We've got loads of extra place races, including the 1:30 at Doncaster, which I didn't get a chance to say, and plenty of races at Cheltenham. And then, as I say, the main offer is regarding the 1:10, the first race on ITV at Cheltenham. We've got money back second or third, and also if you prefer extra play. So, yeah, plenty of offers, as you would expect. Competitive racing for the most part on Saturday. And in this particular contest, the Horace Hill, which I've always liked as a race, usually run on heavy ground, softish ground, because obviously the time that it's run. I liked Pandemonium, who has only run twice. Still got to improve a bit on papers. He got to improve a hell of a lot, actually. He's one of probably the lowly rated horses in the race, but he's got every right to do so because he's still gaining experience and he hasn't been able to show how good he is with those two runs. 1-5 winner, yes, the last time out. I think Red Car, wasn't it? And this race was always put in mind for this horse even before that, I'm led to believe. So, yeah, Pandemonium for me in the Horace Hill. Incidentally, James, when I was studying chemistry at school, the chemistry lab, it didn't have chemistry on it, like telling you where you were going for your lessons. It had a picture of a panda plus NH3, which I'm sure you know is a chemical formula for ammonium. So they were trying to say it was pandemonium in that laboratory, the chemistry laboratory. So that's another reason why I've gone for him, to be fair.
You are as unpredictable as 2025 champions there at times, Ed. But thank you very much for that. Pandemonium, whether it's in a chemistry form or horse form, who knows? Right, we will come on to our best bets after this short break.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, it's that time in the show where we'll whittle down all the races into just one selection on the telly. Let's start with you, Liam. Your best bet, please.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Rosario in the 130 at Doncaster for Roger Teal. He's had a busy year, but he's been running some big races. And although he's only won once this season, he's been placed a few times. His last 5 runs have been pretty consistent. And I think if he gets off to a quick start, I think he'd be a big player.
Robbie, full of surprises, Champions Day last week. Have you got an outsider for us?
Yes, mate. The horse I talked about just now, actually, in the Freetown Newbury, Arabian Desert, for the same connections as the Champions Sprint winner. I think he's a massive price.
Yeah, I was boring last week when I went for Calandagan, so I'm going to go Inish Corker in the 145. Touched on this horse, really big reputation. He's a massive price in what doesn't look the strongest novice hurdle. Sean Burns aboard. Say no more. Right? Isn't that right, Ed? Because that's going to also help your selection.
Sean Bowen, yeah, top man, really in tremendous form. Him and trainer Ollie Murphy, I'm going for their long draw in the 255 at Cheltenham, the Potemps Network qualifier. He looks like a horse that will be going for the final and would have a serious chance in that final. I expect him to win here before being put away for the rest of the winter.
Thank you very much to our panel. That's Lambourne correspondent Liam Head, tipster Robbie Wilders, and Mr. Pandemonium himself, Ed Nicholson. If you're a fan of the show, do make sure to follow us along, subscribe, don't miss any more, because you've got so much good coverage for you coming throughout the course of the jump season, including next week's postcast at 7 o'clock on Thursday. Ascot, the Charlie Hill from Weatherby, it's all happening next week. So do make sure to join us again. But great to have you with us. Great to have Cheltenham back. Have a fantastic weekend. And of course, gamble responsibly.